With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey world, this is Jamie, host of the Jamie and Genty Show, broadcasting live each week on Tuesday at 12 p.m. from Fishbowl Studios. Log on to hear sports talk from basketball to football and view your feedback on the biggest sports news you want to talk about from around the world. So be sure to log on each week Tuesdays at 12 p.m. to catch the Jamie and Genty Show. Hope to see you soon
on Fishbowl Radio Network.
Jump in.
Welcome to the Beyond the Game podcast on Fishbowl Radio. Happy New Year. It's January the 2nd, 2024. My name is Jamie. And yeah, I told myself I will start. But that's my fault for the StreamYard issues and all that stuff. So nonetheless, we'll try to be on StreamYard next week, I hope. But anyways, I hope everyone's New Year was good. Great. Fabulous. And you know, let's talk about this Cowboys game, because this Cowboys game had a lot of controversy in it. You know, a lot of people said Cowboys cheated, Cowboys, you know, should have won. I don't get where you get the Cowboys cheated from. Cowboys never cheated. They just had a lucky bounce. I mean, Detroit was beating them throughout the whole entire game, until a couple of drives that Dallas put together, and basically Mike McCartney almost gave the game away. But let's dive into it. Jared Goff. I always start with my quarterback comparisons. Jared Goff went 19 for 34 for 271 and a touchdown and interception. So he played all right. You know, he put the Lions in positions to win. He got sacked once, but he turned the ball over twice. Both crucial plays at the other end of the field. So the amount of pressure that we were giving to Jared Goff, we didn't provide that throughout the whole entire game to Jared Goff, to the point where he was standing up upright. He was just doing a lot of things to will his team to win. And I'm still not a big Jared Goff fan. I never been a fan of his, because only because he's that type of quarterback that doesn't care about improving his game. And so he goes to Detroit and has a brand new offense and some weapons, and now you call him the great, and now he's led y'all to the playoffs. Y'all should be happy with your quarterback play. I mean, I wish this next game, Teddy Bridgewater gets some run, because Teddy Bridgewater is retiring. And I don't want to hear anybody, any GOAT sounds and any GOAT memes for Teddy Bridgewater, because Teddy Bridgewater is not a GOAT. Teddy Bridgewater has done nothing. Well, I say this respectfully. Everywhere he's gone, his career has been screwed by injuries. And I do think, to his credit, the way he has stayed upright is beyond me. In order for him to retire, I mean, I'm just going to say, man, I'm going to say to Detroit, rest your starters. Rest your starters. Are you Clemson and NFC North? You don't need to put them out there in harm's way. But then again, I'm not Dan Campbell. But Dak went 26 for 38 for 345, two touchdowns and an interception. He was sacked three times, which it was expected, because you got the best pass rusher in the the third best pass rusher in Aiden Hutchinson in NFC. He forced some passes a little bit to CD, and to the point where one of them was intercepted. So that pass that he threw was force feed to CD Lamb. He overthrew Cooks twice, and then it was okay. The drives were all right. I have to blame Mike McCarthy for some of the play calling that he was calling, but that played okay. It wasn't his best, but I think the Lions got into his head a little bit. I saw Dak maneuver in the pocket. I saw that he was able to make the throws. You know, if it wasn't for a 92-yard reception by CeeDee Lamb on a broken play, that the linebacker went inside and completely missed him. So I'm pretty sure at some point today or yesterday, he got embarrassed on film. That happened. So that should have been a sack. But nonetheless, we scored a touchdown. Dak played well. You know, kudos to him for reading the line of scrimmage that the Lions were displaying. I didn't like that last drive where we literally threw the ball, gave them time to get set up. I didn't like that at all. But I can forgive him. Number two, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb says a record-breaking season. Oh, by the way, let's play that clip from CeeDee Lamb, please. CeeDee Lamb on that 92-yard touchdown catch.
Now third down and 13. Blitz coming. Prescott able to get out of the end zone. And now airs it out for Lamb. He's got it. He's gone. When he gets there, it's a touchdown, Cowboys. On top.
So here's CD's numbers. 122 receptions for 1,651 yards and 10 touchdowns. Now, he beat Michael Irvin's single season record. I think Michael had, I can't remember the stat. They saw the stat. I saw the stat the other day. I can't remember it. But congrats to CeeDee Lamb for on a record-breaking season. You need to pay the man. He aggressive route running, very trusted. And then, are we done with Michael Gallup? Now, people have said, I heard the post-game shows, people have said, what can we get from Michael Gallup? To me, I don't know. I don't know what you can get for him. However, he needs to be on this football team because you need three solid wide receivers. And if you take him off, then it's almost like you got to start over again. Then again, Jalen Tolbert, it's starting to emerge a little bit. And so, at that point, you may have to make a decision with Michael Gallup. Let's see what you can get for him. Right? Maybe, you know, I heard the conversation of maybe getting a one, maybe getting a two. I don't think a two is worth it. I think a one is worth it. I think if you can move up in the draft for this year, I would say, like, what one bad team will want a receiver that can put up numbers like Gallup? Like, he's literally annihilated from this offense. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him catch a ball in many weeks. And so I'm not saying we should trade Michael Gallup. I'm saying that we need our three best receivers on the field. And Michael Gallup fits this mold. It's just that CeeDee Lamb's on a tear right now. All right, so let's dive into this drama. Number three, Lions. So, Lions fans, I know you listen to this podcast, and I know that from an athlete's perspective, I know that y'all are still bummed about it. Like, look, you're 11-5, right? Bless you. You are 11-5. You have won the NFC North. You're done. This game shouldn't even matter to y'all. But it is because you want momentum going to the playoffs, which I understand. I understand you want that momentum going into the postseason. I get it. However, However, though, your coach is being ultra aggressive, and it's a good thing and a bad thing. First of all, I want to hear his explanation on the 2-point conversion, please. Play the Dan Campbell explanation of the two point conversion. You had the ball at the 14-yard line. You scored on a touchdown pass, right? The stat says go for two. Because, you know, we live in technology. We live in a world that the stat matters. And everybody from high school, college, pros, everybody's going for two or fourth down to win the game or get that next down. And I want to hear from what Dan Campbell has to say. So play that clip, please.
Both Decker and Sewell went over to right out to when Taylor went to report, and Skipper was sort of running that way. I don't know. Can you explain why there was so many linemen going in that direction? Is that just some subterfuge in some way trying to confuse Dallas at all?
If you're running a play like that, and 70 is your jumbo tight end, and they know that because that's what he does for you, and then you're going to decide you're going to make 68 eligible, and he walks over to the ref, and then the ref stands over 68 before you play, and they hold the ball, and they stand over and point at it, do you think you're going to be able to throw the ball to 68? No. So it's about eligibility. That's what it's about. And it has nothing to do with the ref. The ref knows. He knows. Because 68 reported. It's for the defense so that they see three different people, and you're just hoping they happen to not hear that it's 70. That's all. Now, you saw what Hutch did last year here at Green Bay. They did the same thing to us, and Hutch picked it off, right? Antenna was up, just kind of, oh, all right. He made a play.
You had said you spoke to the officials beforehand, I guess, in talks with pundits.
Why do you guys want to talk about this? I'm not getting into it.
Say there are squeaks
boards
that coaches draw up a play specifically with the officials. Was that specifically done, or was it just audio, just you verbally telling them?
No, I had it on a piece of paper.
Stop it there. Okay, so, anyways, you had an opportunity to go to tie the game up before I get to that play. You had the opportunity to tie the game up. You said, let's go for two. Okay, first of all, you tell Brad Allen, I understand Brad Allen is getting flack right now. And honestly, I kind of like the explanation of what he said after the game. And I wish I had the quote to pull it up, but I forgot the quote. I'm sorry. It's a new year. It's a lot. But anyway, in my explanation, Brad Allen should, well, let me slip back a little bit. You play for overtime. You had Dallas on their heels. That's why everybody from Stephen A. to those Cowboys haters are saying we were lucky to win this game. You had those MFers say we got lucky. You're right, but we didn't cheat to win. We played a full 60 minutes. Actually, you know what? We played a full 36 minutes. Because that wasn't our best ball. And especially in a home crowd like that, that wasn't our best effort out there, period. You know, I was sitting there nervous. I was like, man, dude, y'all can't play like this in the postseason. I don't care where you play, on the road, at home. You cannot play like this. You had Dallas on their heels. You had Dak saying, I'm pretty sure the conversation was saying, hey, Dak, when they tie the score up, we're going to go. We're going to go because we have the most prolific kicker in the league. He can kick from 65 if we had that opportunity, which that's a good conversation to have. But you played – you had Dallas on their heels the whole entire game. Literally. I don't understand why you go for two numerous times. After that first penalty, okay. The second one, no. The third one was a horrible play call. So play for overtime. It's not going to hurt to play an extra 15 minutes to get a victory in Dallas. And then you got haters laughing at us if we lose that game. But I don't know why this day and age we don't play for overtime. We can handle an extra 5 to 15 minutes. We can do that. If you're a passionate sports fan, you can handle overtime. You can handle staying at the bar or at a restaurant for an extra 15 to 20 minutes watching this football game. Just like those fans that went to the game on Saturday. But Dan Campbell, Lions fans, you should look at your coach, the reason why y'all lost. The reason why y'all lost is because your coach was ultra aggressive and making stupid play call after stupid play calling. And this is why y'all were losing the playoffs. Because of that attitude right there. Play for overtime. And for Brad Allen, 68 reported. 70 reported. Well, he says 70. See, to me, when I looked at the film, he says 70 reported, but not 68. So if two Lions are coming up to you, Brad, one of them is saying, I'm going to report. You can't just turn your head quickly and go tell the defense about that. You got to take that in. Or even, let's go before the game. You had a conversation before the game with the ref. That should have been logged into your mind. And this is why I can honestly say Brad Allen may not ref again this season because of that. But let me tell you something. If we live in a mistake-free world, which we don't, then Brad Allen will be refereeing next game. This world gives you one mistake, and then that's it. It'll cost you the game. We're not talking about two or three mistakes. We're not talking about a missed call. We're talking about people's livelihoods. Brad Allen does this on the weekends. His crew goes from every country to every country officiating football games. There's no way this man should lose his job over a botch call. No way. Lions fans may say, oh, he should lose his job because he cost us the game. First of all, you didn't need to win that game. You had everything in the bag. You were going to be the third seed. Okay, fine. You're going to have home field advantage. Fine. You want to meet Dallas again? Fine, whatever. You name the place, we'll be there. Actually, you have to come to us. But for me, I don't think Brad Allen listened. I don't think he listened. I don't think he logged into his mind. And honestly, I don't think he should lose his job for this. I think he should officiate another game or a playoff game. But put him on notice. And his crew. Well, actually, I can't put it. This is individually him. This is on him. So put Brad Allen on notice. Not his other crew. I can't take away their paychecks. I definitely don't want to take Brad Allen's checks either. The man has a livelihood to live. I mean, other people will want to take his paychecks away. I don't. I want him to keep on refereeing and acknowledge his mistake, which he will never do because. Because as you can see, when athletes criticize officials, especially in the NBA, you're going to expect a fine the other day. Like, for example, let me give you another one. LeBron, Saturday night, right? This happened the same. No, not the same. This was 30 minutes before. On LeBron's 39th birthday. Shout out to LeBron. Happy birthday to him. And I'm pretty sure our very own Gabe celebrated LeBron in some other way. I don't know where he celebrated at. But anyways. LeBron pulls up, shoots a three-pointer. The official calls it a two. Okay. Now, upon replay, I played basketball for a long time. Upon replay, your inch has to touch the line. And in this case, none of his toes touched the line. His shoe, like, his starting point started outside the three. So, beyond the line, it started at the three for LeBron, okay? Where he landed was on the line for two. So, the official called two. So, the official when LeBron loaded it, when LeBron tried to shoot a jump shot, he was supposed to land at the three on the line, on the three-point line. They call it a two. But instead, LeBron started outside the three. LeBron, it was inches away from a two-point shot. If he would have started at the line and finished below the line, then they would have called it a two. Instead, he started outside, barely outside the line, landed on the line. They called it a two. In replay, Tony Brothers, who people say he's the best in the business. I think he's the worst in the business, honestly. Tony Brothers is the worst official in the NBA. I'm sorry. You don't give players their say. You team up for nothing. He ruled it a two. So he's going off replay what New Jersey said. And I'm like, you have three officials there. You have wasted 5 minutes of our time going through the play, talking to whoever you need to talk to get the damn thing right. But you have three of them that are looking at the replay. That's what happened with Brad Allen this Saturday night. You had NFL headquarters looking at the play. You had four or five officials talking to you about who reported, who did not. So the communication between players and officials is off. Because first of all, LeBron got robbed. And second of all, the Lions got robbed as well. They got robbed. Yes. But I don't think the Cowboys cheated to win. This is why when you fail, the officials literally gave you another chance. After twice. After Micah Parsons screwed up the penalty, they gave you a chance. A dirt chance. That's why I say, you know what? Pull my guys. We're going for overtime. We're playing for overtime. So, the solution for Brad Allen is don't worry about it. The solution for Lions, move on. Because honestly, I'm not happy about this victory either, and I'll tell y'all on my next point. So, number four, Mike McCartney. Again, Mike McCartney, I don't know what he needs to do better. He's been in this business for 40 plus years. He's been a coach. Yeah. A player, and I don't think he's played in the NFL. But you've been in this business. You won a title. This is concerning. You had an interception. I think it was at the 30-yard line. Okay? Why not run the ball? Why not run? Why are you throwing a pass to stop the clock? You literally gave Detroit the game. You're saying, okay, Detroit, it's your hands. We'll give you y'all's 12th victory. And in this case, you almost did that. So, running the ball, you're playing for overtime. You could have played for overtime. Oh, I'm sorry, not for overtime. You could have won the game. Your defense did not do a decent job stopping them. You gave Jared Goff the whole time in the world. So in that case, Mike, your game management skills need to be adjusted. You need to hire somebody that... But then again, that's a lot of hands-on. There's a lot of hands-on. Jerry, Steven, who else? Dan Quinn, all that stuff. This team shouldn't be in the position that they are right now. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be there. But they are. We won the game because of pure luck. But Mike, your time clock manager is very concerning to me. And I don't think this team will fly in the playoffs. And people will be calling for your head if this happens again. Jerry loves it. Jerry does not care about your time manager, because Jerry will not address it. And I don't want him to address it. I don't want him to address it. Because he's not the type of guy that's supposed to be on the field hands-on. It's supposed to be somebody upstairs that has to tell Mike, you got to take this time out. Mike, you got to run this play to preserve clock, to chew out clock. Do you realize that Detroit does not, if you run the ball, Detroit uses all their timeouts. And you run out that clock, you have at least 45 seconds or at least 40 for them to get the ball down the field. And no one's getting the ball down the field like Jared Goff in 40 seconds or less. Nobody. Nobody's doing that. You're not playing against Pat Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson or any of those great quarterbacks outside Jared Goff. He's not getting you down the field with under 40 seconds left in the game, Mike. You can run the ball. Make them use their last timeout on second down, and then you run the ball on third down, and then you kill more clock to set it up for your awesome kicker. So these things right here, you have to address it. You have to fix it. Because this is between life and not life. This is between going to the NFC Championship game or not. We have the tools. Our path is big. Our path is easier than most teams are right now. We have momentum on our side. Our offense cannot be stopped. Pretty sure we'll play two home games, and I'm about to explain my last point. So number five, Detroit 19, Dallas 20. So we look at the Eagles. The Eagles, like I predicted, the Cardinals beat the Eagles 35-31. I said to Cardinals fans, Cardinals, y'all are playing for your jobs. What a better way to get a victory in Philly and keep your job, even though you're not going anywhere. You did it for the coach. You played hard for coach, because the coach used to be a defensive coordinator. So, but here's the thing. Here's the scenario. So we play the Commanders next week, right? The Eagles play the Giants. So that is a 3:25 game. Both games will be going on at the same time. Oh, by the way, let me play that Dan Campbell pissed off quote, please.
70 was 70 reported.
Did Decker report as well?
Yeah, the explanation was 70 reported.
Did Decker report?
Yes.
And did they need to announce that if both players report?
Two people can't report. I don't want to talk about it. All right. I explain everything pregame. To a T, okay? I did that. 70 reported, 58 didn't, or 68 didn't. We threw it to 68. That was the explanation.
Okay. Can you just explain the mentality to go for two there at the end? Obviously, you wanted to keep the game in your hand and try to win it.
Yeah, I told the offense that we were going down 141 left. We're going to go down and score, and then we're going to go for two and finish this game out. I told him that, and so that's what we were doing.
And being backed up, that didn't change anything when you get backed up to the
backed
seven
up where?
To the seven instead of the two from the two-point play. Did you think at all?
We were going for win.
I'm sorry. But anyways, so here's those scenarios. Dallas beats Commanders in Washington next week, right? They are the NFC East champs, and they are the two seed, right? The Eagles lose. Well, it doesn't matter, because if the Eagles beat the Giants, we're definitely the two seed, and they're the five seed. So they have to go on the road and play a Tampa or Atlanta or what's it called? Or New Orleans, which I don't – out of those three teams – I don't want to play against Tampa, honestly. Tampa knows. No, Tampa. I think I feel like Tampa knows. Tampa knows Philly and Dallas, especially Dallas, because you played them last year. And Dallas had to go. I don't trust Dallas on the road. Period. I don't trust them. But we lose. The Eagles win. The Eagles take the NFC East, and then we got to go on the road. I'm hoping to play against New Orleans. I feel like our chance. I like our chances against New Orleans. I like our chances. I also like our chances against Atlanta. So I like our chances in New Orleans and Atlanta. Not so much Tampa. But how we get the third seed? If Detroit beats, I mean, Detroit beats Minnesota, right? We lose, we lose to the Commanders. The Eagles lose to the Giants. We are the three seed. It still gives us home field advantage, but we got to play a Seattle or a St. Louis. Not St. Louis, but a Los Angeles Rams. And so, again, I said this on my page the other day. Angelo, Commanders, you have a job to do, right? If you want to keep that job, you have to go out there and play it like it's your last. That goes from Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera has lost seven straight games. Commanders. Y'all have to go out there and play. No, I'm sorry. I'm sounding like a Commanders fan now. We have to beat y'all. Okay? Y'all have no chance. Y'all literally almost threw out Sam Howell out there. You literally, because Jacoby Brissett had an injury. So there's not there. This has victory all over it. Literally, if I'm Jacoby Brissett, Wells Travis, I am. If I want to be the quarterback for this team, I'm going to play my hardest. Because you never know. They may go back to Sam Howell. They may transition and make Eric Bieniemy the head coach, which I think he should be the head coach. Probably in Washington, maybe elsewhere. But if I'm the Commanders, I don't take this game. I put it to Dallas. There's weaknesses in Dallas that we have that need to be fixed. Tyler Smith may be out. I don't care what that report says about. Well, I heard the radio yesterday, and I heard Broder say, oh, he may play. I'm like, why? Why go out there and risk it? You already clinched. You don't need your left guard. You don't. You work Tyler Bass in there, and he will get the job done. You work him in there and to get some reps in. If Tyler Smith is not ready to go, don't put him out there. Don't put him out there. And I can honestly say, if we would have had two more victories on the road, if we would have beat a Buffalo and a Miami, I would have told the Cowboys, we need to rest Dak and others for this Commanders game, because the Commanders are not showing anything. They're not showing any effort at all. What has Ron Rivera done? What has Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett done? What has Brian Ron? They can't even run the ball. The only two composed people out there on this Commanders team is Angelo and Terry McLaurin. Those are the only two people that are calm about the Commanders right now. They don't go out of their way and trash the team. They should, because they're the ones that are paying their ticket. They're the ones that are paying their tickets to go watch this mess. Every season is something. But yet, the Cowboys will beat them. The Eagles, I don't know about the Eagles and the Giants. I don't know. But I do know that the Eagles are on the downfall, and I'm loving every bit of it. So did you get that? So if we win, the Eagles lose. We are the 2 seed. We lose, the Eagles win. We are the 5th. We are the 5 seed. So I don't want to play on the road in the postseason because I don't think it'll fare as well. My 2 points: the offense needs to be fixed, and the defense finally came through and forced 2 turnovers. So we'll definitely talk about that Cowboys and Commanders game next week. And I'm assuming we'll have our playoff matchup. Now, our playoff matchup could be on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I don't know. I don't know. But after the Commanders game, I will know more about that. But let's go into college football, please. College football last night. Alabama, Michigan. I think Nick Saban's days are ahead of him. I said this before the season. I said Nick Saban has to accept more victories. So you beat South Florida 17-3. You beat Arkansas team 24-21. That tells me all dominance is lost. You're not recruiting the same amount of players that you were 10, 12 years ago. Those players are making their decisions on the fly, and they're out of there. They're going back home, or they're going to a college that will accept them, that fits to their strengths. Alabama has issues. And I'm not saying Nick Saban should retire. I'm saying the game has caught up to Nick Saban. The game has caught up to Nick Saban. These teams are coming. Michigan beats them 27-20. Okay? I was so angry at Nick Saban and Jalen Milroe. I thought Jalen Milroe took the next step. I thought being outed, I thought being replaced during the season, I said his career is over. He might as well go ahead and transfer. But I say, you know what? I watched the championship game. The SEC championship game. I watched the Auburn game, and I said, okay, I like where he's going. I love his progression. And then this came along last night. In my years watching football, I have never seen a quarterback get sacked 6 times. I never seen a team have offensive line issues. I never seen a center not snap the ball effectively. The blame should go to whoever is that center, should go to him along with Jalen Milroe and Nick Saban. I mean, you worked on snapping. Snapping the ball is the easiest thing in the book. You worked on this all season long. What is the problem? Y'all had issues last night. The offensive line had issues last night. That's why they had 6 sacks, 5 in the first half. They couldn't get their offense going. Nick Saban does not care for adjustments. Jim Harbaugh made adjustments. You can't have the same amount of team every single year. I don't, and I'm starting to question, why is Alabama in the college football playoff game? Why are they there? You had one job. You were up by 7. in the second half. Well, I'm sorry, in the fourth quarter. You had one job to put him away. Why you allow Michigan to go down the field and score? I don't know. Y'all could have stopped Assault. Alabama's defense is in downgrading to the point where the defensive end said, I'm out. And honestly, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. How are you going to sit there and allow Michigan to run down your throat? I have no love for Michigan at all because of the former Boston and all that stuff. That's personal to me. But y'all had a chance. You're telling me that y'all couldn't adjust? Y'all were nervous. Y'all couldn't even get the freaking ball off. That last play was disastrous. I don't care who the greater was at. Last play on fourth and goal? You can't run that play. He lost his time. He had no control of the football. You can't run that play. Michigan was saying, we're going to give you the game. Two blunders that Michigan had. Three on special teams. The fumble snap. Two costly punt returns that one of them almost ended the game. Like, if I'm Michigan, I just down the ball. Just don't go near it. Just don't go near it. But then again, Michigan wins this game because Michigan has will and the power, and they're proving the world wrong. They're not victims, guys. Remember, Michigan's building their resume. Sorry, they're winning the games on momentum. They're winning the games because they are the better team. They're not doing this because to prove the world, to say, oh yeah, our coach got ousted, our coach was a victim. No, they're saying we are the best team in the country. That's what Michigan showed. And honestly, they were giving you on the game. So why in hell would you not take advantage of that? Michigan overcame a lot. You talk about the coach getting suspended for three games, and then Sharon Moore not owning up to the job, which is why he did not get the job. Because Sharon, I would tell you, you got to own the job, bro. When a coach gets suspended, I say this in personal stuff, in life, right? You have to own your mistakes. That's what you call accountability. You have to own it. That's what you call accountability. In this new year, you have to own something. You have to own it. You have to own it. You have to say, you have to cherish it. I don't care if it's your pride, it's your life. You have to own it. You have to make the decisions for you, not for somebody else or somebody else. They're suggesting. Like, for example, Sammy owns this studio, right? She owns it. Every piece of this equipment is hers. She owns it. Beyonce owns it. Stephen A. owns this craft. We own our podcast. We own it. Sharon Moore, you got to own your job, bro. When a coach gets it, this is hard, but when you made those comments, that turned away a lot of potential opportunities for you to get a head coaching job at a Power Five school because you did not own it. You didn't own it. You said, this is Harbaugh's team, and you went off from there. No, you have to own it. In the near future, yes, you will get a Power Five job, but not right now. Because they want to see you own the team. They want to see you own the football team. They want you to hold players accountable. And they didn't see it. They did not see it. from you. It was why you're still at Michigan. But like I said, I am tired of seeing Michigan play football, period. I'm tired of it. And honestly, I don't know why I keep on talking about it because I have no ties to them. So, Michigan is going to the title. Alabama's not. And I'm telling you this. This is going to be the norm for everybody. Alabama, Alabama is not going to be your last stop. Okay? And Nick Saban has to honestly say, I have to accept moral victories. And Jalen Milroe will get better. He'll get better. He'll regress. He'll do his off-season work. He'll do his craft in the off-season. He'll get better, but it's not enough for this game. So, well, we go to Texas and Washington last night. Texas really screwed themselves last night, guys. When you put it in Quinn Ewers' hands, it was set up for disaster. Washington wasn't pushing y'all. Washington almost gave y'all the game, okay? I hate the fact that on the last drive of the game, two passes, one of them was knocked down. Well, actually, watched three passes. One of them was four passes, sorry. One of them was knocked down. The other one, he threw it out. Twice he threw it out of bounds. And then you did not give Adelaide Mitchell, who is 6'4", a chance to receive the ball. You're going 6'4 versus a 5'9 quarterback. Who's going to win that? Who's going to win that? The wide receiver almost on. You didn't give him a chance to fight. A chance. You have speed on the outside. You have height. And then you have physicality and the Tavion Sanders. So you had speed, you had physicality, and also you had height. All three players that I mentioned are skilled enough for the ball, Quinn. You do not get the ball to your best players. I was not happy with that last drive. Because you could have gave Adelaide Mitchell a chance to receive the ball. It was 1 second left. So, again, when you play in Quinn Ewers, he's not going to lead you to a victory, which happened here last night. Texas should be playing in the national championship game instead of Washington. Washington won this game because Washington says, we hate the fact that we're not taking it seriously. And honestly, Washington is a 14-0. There's many weaknesses on Washington. Washington's been winning this thing on momentum and heart. More heart than momentum. And I noticed when Michael Penix was not being pressured. I noticed that Washington had the game in hand. Because I didn't see the same Texas defense that I saw all season long. Texas is getting out to the quarterback. Texas, you know, holding the opponents to 264 yards on overall. But instead, Washington had 532 yards of total offense. That is their offense, guys. That is, wow. It's all numbers. But I'm not happy with what Texas displayed on the field. This team is going backwards instead of forward. I hate the fact that I have to talk about Malik Murphy. We needed Malik Murphy last night. And I honestly wish he was still on this football team. And I can understand him transferring to Duke, he'll be long gone. But I can't throw a Quinn or Arch out there because first of all, Quinn's going to screw up the game and Arch is never going to be ready. I don't think Arch has the skill to become a college football playoff, the college football quarterback. I don't think he's good. The name is iconic, but I don't think that he's going to excel in college football. Let me say this again. I don't think Arch Manning is the best quarterback in football. I don't think he would excel in college football, period. He's just a name on the back. And people call his name out all the time because they want to see him play. They want to see him play, and they want to see him be like his other family members, like an Eli or a Peyton, more Peyton than Eli. So I don't think he has that type of skill. If I want to be proven wrong, prove me wrong. Texas goes to the offseason with a lot of regress. This team regressed to their old ways last night. And it showed. Now we're saying, are you ready for the SEC? Are you ready for the SEC? That's what we're saying right now. Because the SEC is a physical sport. Ask Alabama. Ask Georgia. I'll say more Georgia than Alabama because Alabama has regressed a little bit. Well, actually, Alabama's still going to be Alabama. As long as Nick Saban's the head coach, Alabama's still going to be in it. What do you do in the offseason? How does Sark get his team ready for the SEC? Are y'all ready? I don't think you are. I honestly think that Quinn needs to sit beside Vince and who's the other great quarterback? And Colt. Because those guys, Colt McCoy and Vince Young made Texas great. Those are two quarterbacks in the 2000s. Yes, I'm showing my age a little bit, but those are the quarterbacks in the 2000s that showed greatness at Texas. So I would say, sit beside them. Pick from them. Learn from them. Instead of learning from other people that have never played a quarterback in their title. Or maybe learn from Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel went to South Lakes. So learn from those guys on where to place the ball at. So that this does not happen again. So that you're better equipped for the SEC. Right now, I don't know. And I'm hoping to get some answers soon rather than later because this is going downhill fast. All right, guys. That's it for my college football and my Cowboys take. Let's take a break here. Coming up next, let's talk some basketball, some UNT basketball. And also let's talk about the five things I want to see in 2024. Let's talk about this next. It's Fishbowl Radio's Beyond the Game.
got the bottle, I wanna level up. When I'm with you, I never get enough. Slow wine, I'm not in a rush. I can hear music when you're here. Tonight we're rolling, party till closing. Since I put the ring on the finger, it's still frozen. Love in slow motion, I wanna feel you over me, yeah. Something magic in your eyes, yeah. Girl, I love the way you ride it. And it happens every time you arrive, that's right. Girl, I want you in my life, yeah. There's a heaven in this right. I will never leave your side. Stay tonight, tonight. When you won't see me, when you won't see me, I'm in West London this evening. Giving me the feelings, no, I'm not leaving till I fly Atlantic speaking. Pedal, girl, I'd rather go find somewhere quiet. You glow, and I get lost here in your eyes. I'ma gain all be so. Girl, you just capture my soul. I'ma gain all be so. Make me wanna just take you home.
Welcome back to the Beyond the Game podcast on Fishbowl Radio. My name is Jamie. And also, so breaking news about 30 minutes ago, Adam Schefter reported that Brett Allen and his crew will be working the Steelers and Ravens game on Saturday. So they will not screw that up. And let's play a clip from where Taylor Decker said his piece. So let's play that clip, please.
They didn't tell me anything after the play. All I really want to say on it, just so I don't get myself into trouble, is, I did exactly what coach told me to do, and went to the ref, said report, and I don't know. And it's my understanding too that Dan brings up the possibility of those sorts of plays pregame. So I did what I was told to do, and did how we did it in practice, and. That's probably all I'm really going to touch on with that.
It looked like Jared did tell you to go over there, and you were all over there.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah, I mean, there's not much more I can add to it. There's see the video of it. It is what it is, I guess.
What does it say about this thing that they fought and got themselves back in position to make the play?
I would say that we had a lot of opportunities earlier in the game, and we didn't play clean enough offensively. Hats off to our defense. They played a hell of a game. So definitely want to give those guys credit. And ultimately, when it came down to it, we tried to make all that we could, and we just came up one short.
Did it feel like a playoff atmosphere out there?
Yeah, definitely did. Hank even said part of that last 2 minute drive, he's like, this is like playoff football right here. So it was good to go down there, no timeouts, and execute that drive for a touchdown. That unfortunately just came up 1 point short.
All right, guys. So I just want to play that last clip from Taylor Decker. He was the one that caught the pass, and unfortunately did not count. But anyways, we move on to basketball. By the way, I have one more clip from Jimmy receiving his Ring of Honor. So I'll play it on the last tip. But anyways, guys, let's talk about some basketball. Let's talk about some UNT basketball, right? So UNT played LSU, not LSU, the school, but LSU Shreveport. They beat them 80-57, obviously. Two-game winning streak. So I wrote down five things, and I want to respond to what DJ Draper, former Mean Green sharpshooter, said on the broadcast on Saturday. And I totally disagree with him. He was asked, what team do you see? How do you see this team right now? He said they're a great team. Okay, DJ, you can't say they're a great team. They're 7-5. They're two games over 500. You can't say that shit. You cannot say they are not a great team. They are a good team. They are a working product. They even had the LSU Shreveport guys. That is supposed to be a blowout. Listen, let me tell y'all something. Don't take the 20 blowout as a dominant game for Mean Green, for North Texas. This was not a dominant game for them. They struggled. They struggled with the athleticism of that Shreveport team. They struggled with them. They were quick. They made a bunch of shots. The only thing that killed them was the fact that they couldn't play defense. And also they were dry on a bunch of, they turned the ball over a lot. So that's why LSU Shreveport did not win this game. However, I don't agree with DJ on this at all. You got to be honest, DJ. You got to say, this is a team, like Coach said, we are a work in progress, which I agree with the coach. We are a work in progress because we have not been perfect, okay? And let me tell you why. Let me tell you what I see in the game, what I saw in the game. I saw no offensive flow. I saw scramble possession. I saw a bunch of passes that were not there. I saw a lot of ethical ball move. I didn't see a lot of ball. The inside presence for Sissoko is concerning. So again, this is not an inside team. They don't throw the ball inside. Sissoko gets the ball down there, right? Your first instinct is you're backing down the defender. You're right there. I think he did it once. You're right there in the paint. Just score over him. But you don't do that. You back your defender down, and then you're kicking it out to shooters. Thank God you have 3-point shooters, because if you didn't, then you would have gone up and scored. But this is concerning for me because I always want to see a big man score down there, down low. And if we can't get that, then we're screwed. We're screwed on the inside. We need a post touch for Sissoko. We think he can score. But it's concerning. 12 from 32 from 3-point range. Briggs and Edwards must keep shooting. So yeah, those two guys, Briggs and Edwards, they have to keep shooting the ball to give us a chance. Transition defense needs to improve. So can't remember the number that we gave on the fast break points, but we need to improve defensively in that round. We have a good half court defense, but defensively in transition, I feel like if teams are running shooting the ball effectively, then we're gonna get killed in transition. We're gonna get killed in the game. Like I said, the coach said it was a work in progress. I believe that. So this team has been healthy. They're trying to work some guys in the mix, but I don't think it's working right now. Just give it time. Give it about the mid-conference play and see what happens. They are picked to six to in the conference. So this is not Conference USA where you can just up and win it. This is American Conference where nothing is given. You have to go after it. And all those teams in American Conference are going after what North Texas wants to go through. So you got to go through all those teams. I think you have to go through FAU. in my mind, even though they lost to the Gulf Coast, I think you have to go after FAU. Because I think they're in Memphis. Because I think those two teams are the most athletic teams in the league, especially FAU, who made the Final Four. And poised to make another run again. And I say that Dusty Mays is the best coach in America. I can also say Penny Hardaway is the best coach in America. I can say that too. But I'm not going to say that. Well, maybe I just did, but you know, it's going to be an interesting season. And North Texas has picked to finish sixth in the league. So we just got to see what happens. The first game is against Wichita State, which that is on ESPN2 on Thursday. And so Wichita State, oh man, it's going to be a tough game because Wichita State's quick and physical, and they're going to have our best shot. Number two. Let's talk about the women. Then the women lost 74-64 to Charlotte. I honestly think Charlotte's well coached. I don't know how long that coach has been there for a long time, but they're well coached. She's going to have her teams playing well. And so, Tamisha Lampkin has 16 points and 6 rebounds, but she shot well from the field. She went 8-for-9, but she went 0-for-9 at the line. It was a difference in the game, but also approved the other difference. And also, I want to say a rest in peace to Evan Moore. He's one of those guys that on the basketball team, on the women's basketball, you're playing against men. So basically, what it is you play. The reason why you play against men in practice is because the men have physical traits. Well, I'm not saying women don't either. I'm saying that men have physical specimens, and so. You hire men to play against you, against women because women because you're trying to make sure that women are physical, are ready for physicality of basketball. So that's why that happens. It happens everywhere, all the time. And so he was one of them. And I heard that he was trying to get a chance to play on the team elsewhere. And unfortunately, a car accident happened. So, rest in peace to him and prayers to his family and friends. But nonetheless, the game. So, in the middle of the shoot threes, that is concerning. It's always been a concern for North Texas all season long. We don't have a good three-point shooting team. I don't know what our team is, honestly. I do think we'd like to throw the ball inside. But, you know, when teams stop that, then you gotta have a three. You gotta have an outside shot. Momentum after the first quarter, we were up 21-12 after the first, and then you know all of a sudden we're down 35-28 at the half, and so they did it off turnovers. Again, turnovers turned to points. 22 turnovers that we had turned to points. 22 turnovers. So I'm like, we got to make sure that we don't turn the ball over in transition. This has been our norm. And if coaches keep this our norm, we're going to lose a bunch of games moving forward if we're going to continue to average 20 turnovers a game, like I've been saying before. And that's 2 straight losses. And weaknesses, that's my fourth take, is showing its head a lot. So we have a lot of drop possessions. I don't know who it was, but I saw our pull-up mid-range game and she airballed it. And I'm like, okay, this is gonna be our weakness. We can't hit pull-up shots. We can't hit threes. We have no offensive flow. And Jason Burton says it's okay. It's okay to run this offense. It's okay that we're 10-3, that we are the best team in the nation. And I don't think you are. I don't think you are right now. You're a good team, but you're not the best. Now, granted, you took 4 charges, which to your success, great. That's good. But I don't think that y'all have a lot of work to do. And that work comes with practice and dedication and attention to detail. You gotta focus. It starts tonight. Again, keep frustrations in check. So there's a lot of frustrations there's a lot of upset ladies in the game. So we gotta keep it in check. We gotta make sure that we gotta keep our cooler head, because we gotta make sure that we're on a mission here. We want to win, but in order for us to win, we gotta keep a cooler head. All right. So they played Temple tonight, and then FAU on Saturday. I'm sorry, not Saturday. Next Sunday. So I think that game is on during the Cowboys game. I don't know why they put that game during the Cowboys game. I don't know why. Who was watching that? Like I said before, give it about 2 weeks to see effective basketball. 2 weeks' time, you'll see effective basketball. Hear me, Angelo. Hear me, Sammy. In 2 weeks, you will see effective basketball. Period. So, Caitlin, in the new year, these are five things I want to see. Let's start with women's basketball. Number one, Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark has all the intangibles in the world. They say she's unstoppable. They say she is the greatest women's basketball player in the world. Do you realize that she needs 378 points to be number one all time? And matter of fact, on December the 6th, she accomplished this feat. Let's play the Caitlin Clark clip. Caitlin Clark's clip, please. Let's play that clip.
Goodman. Here's Marshall with Clark trailing. History in flight. You bet! Caitlin Clark! 3,000 career points! By Goodman. Here's Marshall with Clark trailing. History in flight. You bet! Caitlin Clark! 3,000 career points! By Goodman. Here's Marshall with Clark trailing. In flight, you bet! Caitlin Clark, 3,000 career points.
Okay, so Caitlin Clark hit that on December the 6th. So her last five games: 35, 35, 38, 28, 35. So, like I said, she's 378 points away from being number one. Their number one player that scored the leading score in all time history as far as points goes. And I hope she gets it. I do think that around tournament time she'll get that feat. But then again, it's like, why do you stay another year at Iowa when Iowa has said we don't need, Iowa has not recruited a player like yourself place you? So that's why I can understand the feelings. I can understand them. I can understand making a hesitant decision. I get it. You love Iowa. You love the coaching staff there. Whatever is brewing Iowa outside of basketball, you love it there as well. So the WNBA is what's in your path, and I don't think you're the number one. I don't think you're worth the number one pick, which Indiana, it has that number one pick. Honestly, I wouldn't go Caitlin Clark if I'm Indiana Fever. I'm sorry. I won't do that. But that's a different story for a different day. So, she's averaging 31 points a game and 7 rebounds and 7 assists. So, we'll see if she gets that feat. Like I said, 378 points away. The weakness that she has is physicality. If you throw her around, she's not going to respond to physicality. All these players that are defending her right now are giving her space to maneuver. So, that's that. But if you be physical with her, then there you go. That's fine. You'll win a bunch of games against Iowa. Because that's her offense. That's her offense. Caitlin Clark's her offense. Number two, staying on women's basketball. How does Texas survive in the Big 12 without Rory Harmon? Now, Rory tore her ACL in practice. Not her fault. It just happens. You're practicing, you go up for a layup or you make a play, the knee tears. It's just a bad feeling. I've seen it before. And so you just got to roll with what you have. And I do think Texas is the best team in the Big 12. My third point would be TCU, but TCU hasn't really played anyone, and I don't consider them as the best team in the Big 12 as well. So even though they have gone 14-0, I don't think TCU is the best team in the Big 12. I do think Texas is, but Texas will be all right without Rory. They'll be all right. They lost to Baylor the other day by 6 points, but Roy makes up their off their whole entire team, not their off the whole entire team. She runs the show, and so they'll find a replacement. They have players there, well seasoned players. It's always good to have a veteran team, because when you have a veteran team, you hold other players accountable. You're able to know the game more than the other players do, younger teammates. So I do trust that. All right, so men's basketball, number three, Kansas. I'm sorry, number four, Kansas. Kansas, are they ready for the Big 12 title run? So they have Hunter Dickerson. They have Kevin McCall Jr. They'll pick up the load, guys. I'm interested to see Texas. I'm interested to see Texas Tech, and I'm interested to see the Baylor in Houston. I want to see Texas Tech because I want to see how Grant McCasem coaches this Texas Tech team. They're averaging more points than something's happening in Tech to the point where he cares about the offense more than the defense goes. But they're still scoring on offense, but they're still carrying on defense as well. So I want to see what is brewing when that matchup happens against Kansas or any other team that Tech plays against. I want to see what's happening. That Tech is getting that. He's being so successful over there, and I want to see Kansas hold that Big 12 title again. But they got their work cut out for them. Just like I don't care about Texas football. Well, just like I'm hard on Texas football. I'm hard on Texas basketball as well, and that's both men's and women's. So this will be my last point of the day, the NBA stuff. So I hate to bring bad negativity into the new year, but I have to. Because what we witnessed, we will never witness again. And these teams have a chance to win this history again. Especially this team that I'm about to name right now. Well, in a few words, the Spurs are 5-27. They've been blowing out every game by at least 30 plus points. Detroit, they're 3-29. Again, Washington, they're 6-28. That's Washington Wizards. They are inconsistent. They're garbage, inconsistency. They have no flow to the game. Charlotte has 11 straight losses. And they could be the team that can reach the 18 to about 28 threshold, maybe even more, because that is a bad of a team. I saw this the other day. And it said the Charlotte Hornets are the only team in the NBA that have never played on Christmas Day. Yeah, I saw it. And I said there's a reason why. Nobody wants to watch a wife beater. Nobody wants to watch Miles Bridges. Nobody wants to watch a guy who plays 20 games a year in LaMelo Ball. Nobody wants to watch a coach that doesn't make adjustments, Steve Clifford. Nobody wants to watch an ownership go down the drain like a Michael Jordan Michael Jordan has a great game, but Michael Jordan has put this Charlotte Hornets team to shame. This is why you draft Scoot over Brandon Miller. This is crazy. Nobody wants to watch that. No one wants to watch bad negativity on Christmas Day. They don't, because you know why? The audience is positive. The audience wants to bring a LeBron, a Kobe, God rest his soul, Steph, who else? Giannis, Luka, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, who did not play, Tyrese Maxey on Christmas Day, because they are positive players that are doing well for their teams. The NBA and their audience want to see that, instead of they want to see a team that's on the downfall. They don't want to see a bad team every single year. They want good chemistry to keep the audience in line, keep them. And the NBA is doing the right thing of doing that, of keeping the Hornets outside of this day. Because the Hornets, teams like that should never play on the holidays. Now, Detroit. Detroit shouldn't be celebrated, because you know why? This was a shame that y'all went through. Y'all went through two months losing basketball. You finally got the monkey off your back. Which, let's play half a clip of Monty Williams. Play half a clip of it.
I don't eat tonight. It doesn't even matter.
Can you kind of explain the scenes in the locker room?
I mean, I've been in a ton of locker rooms my whole life, and that's a first for me to have that kind of. It wasn't relief. It was just like, thank God, you know, finally. And guys were screaming. I was almost in tears, and I'm just so happy for our guys. I'm happy for everybody in the locker room. You know, sometimes it just takes a win like that to get things started, and all the situations that our young guys are growing in. It was pretty cool to be in it and come out on top, even though in the midst of it, you know, if you check my armpits and other plays right now, wouldn't. But at the same time, the locker room was just, it was pretty cool. And I just have so much respect for our team, the way they come in every day. I've said it so many times, and I think people may have thought that they were okay with losing, but they came in every day with a great spirit, and they wanted answers, and they came in wanting to learn and try to get better. We rarely came into the gym with a bad spirit. We always had our joy, because we knew that if we put it together, we could not just win one game, but, you know, put many wins together. So I just respect the heck out of our guys. Really happy that we finally got a win, because it's so hard to win in this league. And, yeah, it was pretty cool.
This may be to be determined, but usually teams learn to win at high-stakes games like playoffs or something like that. But is it?
So anyways. So you heard Monty Williams. This will never happen again. I hope it doesn't, because I can't imagine a team go through that and the players give up like that, like a Cade Cunningham. Let's play that clip from Cade, please.
The smile on your face right now. It's been a little over 2 months of this adversity. Can you just describe the feeling in your heart right now?
Feel amazing. Oh, man, I feel amazing. Yeah, this is my first time trying not to just be, you know, cheesing right now in the interview, but I feel good. It's been a long time coming, so don't want to go back to where we were.
what did you see in your team tonight just to battle and finish this one out? It was close all game, but you were able to play that solid 48 minutes you guys have been looking for.
I think that's what it was. We just were solid for longer. 48 minutes is what we've been preaching, and we've had slips that were just digging ourselves too deep of a hole, but this game just felt like solid throughout. We had a couple lapses, but we picked them back up, picked ourselves back up a little bit faster than we have been. So I think that was the key to the game.
I asked Monty about that while he was just up here. Can there be like the irony in it takes this? Most teams are to win in the playoffs or trying to get into the playoffs, but you guys had to learn while going through something that no team has gone through before, the complete opposite, right? And this is probably, you said, the best 48 minutes you guys have played. You guys haven't really ended games poorly the last few. It's just maybe been the second quarter. Like, do you think there could be some irony in learning how to win by trying to end the worst?
Yeah, that was the message. Like, when we got into the foul game later on, and they hit a couple shots, and then it got tight, got back to four. Like, even then, we hadn't been in a situation like that in a long time where we're up and we're trying to hold on to a lead and end the game. So I think moments like that are important to know how to win games, you know what I'm saying? So, man, I mean, we just kept battling. It's been a long, long stretch, all these losses, man. But I'm just happy to be a part of a group of guys that don't quit and bring it every day and still, you know, stay positive and up with each other. It's cool to be around that. So I couldn't be happier for the group.
Okay, Lenny said there was a sense of relief in the locker room. Just what was that like for you from your perspective?
I mean, it's been weighing on us heavy everywhere we go for 2 months, which unreal, you know what I'm saying, for it to have been that long. So, I mean, it was, like I said, it was a long time coming, something that we have been pushing for so long. And so to finally get over that hump, like I said, I mean, we're not trying to go back. Now it really begins where we see who we're going to be. And if we're going to continue to play with that same fire that we've been playing with, and if we're going to continue to stay together and try to put full 48-minute games together.
I mean, you said after the Boston game that winning just one game would be soft. How do you bottle this up and take it on this West Coast trip that y'all are going?
We got to keep the same fire. I mean, at the end of the day, that's our third win. So we're not anywhere close to where we feel like we should be. We dug ourselves a deep hole, but we just, you know, day by day, try to get ourselves out of it. A good start today against a good Toronto team that smacked us last time we played them in Toronto. So it was a good win for us to bounce back and get this one. And now we take it to Houston and try to keep it going.
See that again. I appreciate Cade acknowledging that. And y'all at some point have to play hard. I don't care if you're young, I don't care if you're young or old, you have to acknowledge everything. Acknowledge your mistakes. And make sure that you that this does not happen again. You don't become the laughingstock in the NBA or any other league. Now, these teams that I mentioned, at some point, they need to get a at some point. Because you can't be young forever and go through this nonsense. At some point, win something. And in this case, the Spurs may, if they figure out a way to get Wimmy the ball inside, then we'll win a bunch of games. If not, then this franchise is going to go down the drain. And I can say that as a Spurs fan. All right. So before we go, Jimmy Johnson got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Not to the Hall of Fame. He got inducted to the Ring of Honor the other day. This is motivation noise that I want all Cowboys haters to hear. And then we'll wrap it up. Let's play that clip from Jimmy, please.
Oh, I did have a phone call to Jerry here a few days ago. It was not a positive phone call. Nothing was resolved. Nothing was clarified. This is not the first incident that I've had to put up with. As far as the incident itself, I don't accept that he was drunk and made comments, because a few hours later he made the same derogatory comment to his business associate Mike McCoy. As far as this smoke screen, that it was off the record. Off the record, I mean, does that mean that you don't have to tell the truth? Does that mean that you're going to lie? And besides off the record, there were men and women around that were not reporters. And how did they take off the record? As far as myself, I don't know how anybody could expect me to respect or trust a person such as that.
Did you tell him you would resign?
No, I told him I would not resign. I had an opportunity to get another job. I'm not going to resign without a job and without compensation.
Where did he leave it with you in this conversation?
We had a very abrupt ending of that conversation, and I will clarify everything in the press conference this week, and that's the only comment I've got to say.
One last thing. Why would he say he would fire you? Why would this even come up?
Why has he done a lot of things for the last 3 or 4 years?
So, guys, you heard from Jimmy. Congrats to him being on the Ring of Honor finally. And so, there's more guys. Add to Tall Jones, Jerry. You got to put these guys in the Ring of Honor before something happens. That's what I'm saying. Okay? All right. So, next week, that's it for today, guys. I hope I did well the first show of the year. I'm going to try to get StreamYard on this thing. I'm going to try to get StreamYard working, because I want to see the graphics in the background. But next week, let's talk about the Cowboys and the Commanders game. Let's recap that game. Then we'll talk about the playoffs. Okay? Then we'll recap the national championship game, and then some basketball stuff. From the NBA to college basketball. We're going to cover it all, guys. It's a new year. A lot of things are coming, and I'm working hard at it, guys. All right, please like this video, subscribe, and I will see y'all next week. It's Beyond the Game on Fishbowl Radio.
This is Jamie, host of the Jamie and Genty Show, broadcasting live each week on Tuesday at 12 p.m. from Fishbowl Studios. Log on to hear sports talk from basketball to football and view your feedback on the biggest sports news you want to talk about from around the world. So be sure to log on each week Tuesdays at 12 p.m. to catch the Jamie and Genty Show. Hope to see you soon
on Fishbowl Radio Network.
Jump in.